I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I would like to welcome back John Brookins. John is with the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program. Hey there, John. Welcome back to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you for the invitation to share.
I think we should get started today by having you tell us about Kiwanis. What are the Kiwanis?
Well, Kiwanis is a worldwide organization of volunteers, started in 1915 in Detroit, Michigan. And our motto is serving the children of the world. And so we're pretty much focused on children's needs and in our individual communities throughout the world. Here in the Pacific Northwest, our district is really large and international. We have Kiwanis clubs in communities from Weed, California to Fairbanks, Alaska. So that'd be Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Panhandle of Idaho, British Columbia, Yukon Territory, and all of Alaska. So we're a large district, and every club decides what their community might need or require, and then they work on that. And one of the things that we have is a district, dedicated district project, is the Kiwanis Children's Cancer Program at Dornbecker Children's, where I'm affiliated, and BC Children's in Vancouver, British Columbia, and also in Seattle Children's in Seattle.
Wow.
So that's what we focus on and what my focus has been.
How long have you been with the Kiwanis, John?
43 years.
Oh, wow. Just a few years then. Not long.
Yeah, just a new guy.
What has your role been with Kiwanis over those years?
There's been many roles. I was first asked to join Kiwanis in Fairbanks, Alaska, and was just introduced into a wide range of community projects, getting in, you know, whatever our needs were. And when I moved to Oregon in 1989, I've been, club president, secretary, treasurer at the district level, what we refer to as a lieutenant governor. We have a governor who overrides the entire district, and then positions like lieutenant governors, where we communicate with up to 12, 13 different Kiwanis clubs. And so that's the many positions that I've had: district chair of the Seattle Children's, BC Children's, and Dornbecker Children's, as head of the finance committee for the entire district. And yeah, lots of different things. Lots of different things.
Well, it sounds like you're really involved. That's fantastic.
That is true. I have been really involved.
Well, you touched on it just briefly, but let's talk about it some more. What does the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program, tell us about that? What is it?
We are we're a 501c3, all volunteer organization dedicated to funding the Pediatric Oncology Hematology Fellowship Program at Dornbecker Children's. And how we got started in that, we go back many years, 35 years, back to the Children's Miracle Network telethons. And we were so impressed with the passion and dedication of doctors at Dornbecker Children's that we asked, well, what else can we do except, raise money at a telethon? And they said, well, we really need pediatric transports, they're called PANDAs, and little incubators for newborns from all over the state of Oregon and Southwest Washington to transport these newborns for life-saving treatment at Dornbecker. And so we did a little fundraiser, and we raised the money for that and said, well, what else do you need? And here they said, well, it's really unfortunate that we don't have a bone marrow transplant unit here in the state of Oregon, and to treat people with cancer and children with cancer. And the option at that time was, if you can imagine this, dropping your 6-year-old, which is the average age of a child diagnosed with cancer, dropping him off at the Portland International Airport and sending him to San Francisco and not being able to accompany them. And many of us experienced that kind of angst during the pandemic when, you know, we drop friends, neighbors, family off at the hospital and not be able to go in. And we just found that to be, wow, unacceptable.
Yeah.
And so we raised the money and gave it to Dornbecker Children's, and they installed, purchased and installed a bone marrow transplant unit at Dornbecker, and it is still the only one, and it's treated and it's used every day for bone marrow transplants. But then, that's in 1997, and there was a physician-in-chief, Dr. Leonard Johnson, that suggested to us, well, you know, we'd love another piece of equipment of some kind, but his passion was to end cancer in children throughout the world and just end it. And he said the only way to do that is to start a training program called a fellowship at Dornbecker Children's to train the next generation to go from pediatrician to physician scientist. And we've done that, and we accepted that challenge, and we've done that since 1997. And that's what we do. We're the only fellowship program in the United States that doesn't require the fellows to respond to a grant from somebody else to direct their years of research and passion, because this is a 3 to 4 year program. And so we allow, and this is really the culture at OHSU and Dornbecker, is to allow physician scientists to pursue their passion and in whatever means and way. And so we're it. We're the only ones. And that's also why we have, over 100 applicants for these two positions. And there's only 130 fellowships across the country. So that's what we do. And we've got at Dornbecker Children's, there's a world class of mentors, instructors, and physicians that guide these fellows. And when they leave, they go off to all kinds of research places across the United States. Some, of course, stay. We have 15 of our fellows that stay at OHSU this time to advance their research. And some of their successes are just astounding. So.
Yeah, you may have just answered my next question, which was, why did Kiwanis choose to team up with Dornbecker? That happened back in the 80s, you said.
Yeah, it happened back in the 80s, and it gets reaffirmed every time we get together. It's just passionate. Dr. Evan Sharrock, who's the head of the fellowship program, she really had to put her foot down here about 3 years ago and insist that the fellows have a life outside of the fellowship program and their research by insisting that they can only work 80 hours a week in the lab or at the hospital. And you have, like, she can't control how many hours they spend writing papers or doing research, through the Children's Oncology Group or others that to pursue their research and findings. But they can only spend 80 hours a week. And, that's working part time, because there's 168 hours in a week. Really, they're only working half time.
Yeah. No. That is just astounding that they have to be limited to 80 hours a week.
Yes. Yeah. But that's the passion,
right?
It's infectious.
We're talking today with John Brookins with the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program. John, why is the work being done through this program so important to our community and the world at large, really?
Well, unfortunately, since statistics have been kept, and this is over the last 60 years, cancer takes the lives of more children in the United States than all other diseases combined. And when I was introduced to that statistic 18 years ago, when I was asked to join the board of the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program, it just didn't seem right that children should experience cancer and still, after 60 years, have it take the lives of more children than all of the diseases combined. And I just find that to be unacceptable, as we all do. And it affects everyone here in Oregon, in Portland, throughout the state, and the treatment. And it's a rare disease, but we anticipate that somewhere 250 children will be diagnosed with cancer this year, in addition to the 250 last year, and the 250 the year before, and the 250 the year before. And so we literally have thousands of kids here and represented in every community across Oregon and Southwest Washington. 400,000 children will be diagnosed with cancer this year throughout the world. And the success rate here in the United States and other countries, you know, like Canada and the United States, we're in about a 90% cure rate of ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is the most common form of cancer. So that's just fabulous. But when I was in school, and I hate to tell you how many years ago that was, but not all that long. It was over 50 years ago. But the best news my parents would have received had I been diagnosed with the most common form of leukemia cancer is that I might live another 6 months. It was a death sentence. And today, due to the research and positions and discoveries of many of our Kiwanis fellows, the cure rate now is, they just argue about where in the 90 percentile it is. And overall, of all children's cancers, we're at an 80% success rate. Unfortunately, brain tumors and brain cancer is still at 50%. So there's a lot more work to be done. I hope I answered your question instead of rambling along.
No, that's amazing. The impact is quite astounding. You know, like you say, it's just been 50 years since you had 6 months, right? You would have been diagnosed.
That's
and would have made it 6 months. And now it's a 90% plus cure rate.
Cure rate. That's correct. That's cure rate. Yeah.
Talk about some of the other impacts, the new discoveries and things like that.
Well, one of the reasons that we have so many applicants for fellowships and training here at Dornbecker Children's is the successes of individual physician scientists at OHSU Dornbecker Children's. We are world class. There is just no question. And we can start back with Dr. Brian Druker in the early 90s that he discovered the absolute wonder drug Gleevec. And Gleevec was the first targeted cancer treatment. Prior to Gleevec, you know, you took adult cancer treatments of radiation and chemotherapy and just sort of sized it down for whatever the child's weight was and that kind of thing. And you virtually killed everything, hoping you got the cancer. And with Gleevec and Dr. Druker, he formed this targeted cancer treatment. And if you take a Kiwanis van or a Odyssey van or one of your cars there at your stations, and you sanitized it and cleaned it out and loaded it up with cancer-fighting troops, the driver is Gleevec. And it was the first time ever that a targeted treatment for children was dedicated. And it was the first patented approval by the FDA since 1980. So it was just extraordinary. And now we've shifted forward into 2019. Our own Kiwanis Fellow from 2006, Dr. Bill Chang, was then the director of our fellowship program, Dr. Evan Sharrick, and their team developed this drug called Kymera, which was the first drug is part of immunotherapy. And imagine being able to retrain our own immune system, the CAR T cells of our own immune system, to recognize cancer as a threat. That's the insidiousness of cancer, all cancers, adult cancers, adolescent and young adult and children's, is that we have to wait for diagnosis before it can be treated. and including with immunotherapy. But now you can retrain the CAR T cell in our immune system to help fight cancer in our own bodies by our own immune system. And then we have Dr. Matt Dietz and Dr. Missy Wong. Matt is a 2020 Kiwanis Fellow. And their research is taking a single blood draw at birth and identifying markers, mutated part of our DNA that is predisposed to becoming cancerous, and through drugs like Chimera and immunotherapy, retrain the child's own immune system to recognize when it does turn and become cancerous, that their own immune system attacks it, kills it, and the results are is that child might think they have a cold for a couple of days. So prevention is the new big deal that I know that our fellows are intimately involved with.
That's amazing. That all that stuff is happening right in our backyard, right?
Right now. OHSU and Dornbecker Children's they're second to none in anywhere in the world. And they're part of the Children's Oncology Group, which is 220 hospitals around the world that share successes, failures, and diagnoses freely with each other. And there's no competition for patients. The competition is who can put who out of a job fastest.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dana Brainer, who is the physician in chief at Dornbecker Children's currently, Dr. Brainer's, I quote him frequently, that he honestly believes that within his lifetime, the work that Kiwanis Fellows are doing, and others, of course, will bring an end to cancer in children within his lifetime. And when I see him, I remind him that he is a few years younger than me, and I would appreciate it if he would stop working only 80 or 100 hours a week and end cancer in children in my lifetime.
Yeah. So yeah, let's do that. We're talking today with John Brookins with the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program. John, let's jump ahead a little bit and talk about an event you guys have coming up, Dornbecker Day. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's coming up on Saturday, April 20th. Once a year for, I don't know, the past 20, 25 years or so, Dornbecker opens its doors to Dornbecker Day. And where the fellows come, current fellows and past fellows, and the doctors surrounding them and mentoring them and teaching them, and also a patient family, shares their experiences. Of one, some of the fellows, one of the standard questions I ask the fellows is why did you come here? And then they just go on to explain, well, geez, we have Brian, Dr. Drucker here, you know, you got Dr. Archie Blyer here, we got all kind of these world-renowned researchers, and they wanted to be a part of that, and then their experiences here and what their research is trending to, and then also the experience of a family that's had experienced children's cancer. And it's a very important day. It is April 20th, and it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's open to the public. There is a registration process, but that's just so that we know how many donuts to have. And you know, there's parking and it's a wonderful day. And we've allowed quite a bit of time for meet and greet. So if you have any questions, you know, you can actually meet the fellows. They're not just paraded on stage and then hustled off, you know, and so it's actually in their backyard. So it's a marvelous time, and to hear their stories and their just overwhelming passion and commitment to ending cancer in children is what really keeps us inspired.
And none of this comes for free or cheap. So how does the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program, how do you fund this?
Yeah, and during the pandemic, boy, what a dramatic impact of all of our fundraising has been done face-to-face. We used to do a Mustang every year and raffle it off. and raised a considerable amount of money. And then when the pandemic hit, that just killed it. We've got a golf tournament coming up on May 10th at Camas Meadows in Vancouver. That's just been a marvelous project of ours. But the bicycle clubs and on and on and on have all gone away during the pandemic. So we're really struggling to raise money. I do a number of presentations. I spent a week in Central Oregon, actually, last week. And so I give presentations and do the fundraising there and have clubs, Kiwanis clubs. And recently, Lions have really embraced children's cancer. That's one of their international focuses. And so we're doing some kind of joint fundraisers in individual communities because of the amount of children that are affected. And so that's what we're doing. We're open to all kinds of suggestions and participation in fundraising events throughout the state.
Well, in this program, the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program is very different from other organizations who raise money for children's cancer. Tell us about how you guys are different.
Well, the main part of that we're different from all others is that we are all volunteer. We have no paid staff. We have no paid expenses for any of our members of the board or volunteers. So our expense rate and administration rate is way below others. And we are specific to children's cancer. Other organizations who give, have great advertising dollars and expenses. They use a child with cancer as part of their fundraising, and yet nationally, it's less than 3% of the money that's raised that actually goes to children's cancer treatment or research. And that's discouraging, and that's what separates us. We know exactly where the money is going. It isn't going into our pockets, or we don't hire professional fundraisers, as many do. And the Internal Revenue Service, to my knowledge, allows up to 80% of what a professional fundraiser raises with somebody else's name. They keep 80%. And so we don't do that, obviously. We're an all-volunteer, and all of our expenses are our own. So that's what really separates us.
And that's very different.
Yeah, very different. And I'd be happy to, we do a lot of presentations. Personally, I've done over 250 presentations and just almost 30. I did 28 presentations this year. And so it's we're on the road a lot.
Yeah. Well, as we wrap up here, John, let us know where people can find out more information and maybe help out if they can.
They can go to KiwanisDornbecker.org, which is our website, and get background information. And also there's maps on there that show where the children are coming from. Just last year, 247,000 plus children went to Dornbecker Children's Hospital for treatment they couldn't get anywhere else. And KiwanisDornbecker.org. And or you can email me directly, johnbrookins@msn.com.
Excellent.
And I'd be happy to schedule a presentation. Somebody just asked me yesterday, he says, well, what's the most people you've ever made a presentation to? And I said, 2,400 up in Seattle. And they said, so what's the fewest? I said, three in Klamath Falls. They forgot I was coming. And so my range is from 3 to 2,400,
everything in between.
Going to everything in between or more, not a problem. 5,000. I just did one. There were 213 or something like that on Zoom. So I knew internet kinds of presentations also.
Well, I know for me, John, it's always a pleasure. Pleasure to get to talk to you every year. We talk about this same time for Dornbecker Day every year for the last few years, and it's always such a great conversation. Thank you.
Well, I hope you can come. I really hope you can come.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
It's a great day.
Excellent.
April 20th. I will make sure you get an invitation.
Thank you. We've been talking today with John Brookins with the Kiwanis Dornbecker Children's Cancer Program. Thank you, John.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.